Okay, so we all know the joy of ordering a pizza, right? Especially late at night. But have you ever thought about all the legal stuff that goes on behind the scenes of getting that pizza to your door?
You know, it's funny how something so simple can lead to some pretty complex legal issues.
Well, that's exactly what we're diving into tonight. It's a case that'll make you think twice before ordering that next slice. We're talking Patterson v. Domino's Pizza. This case, it went all the way up to the California Supreme Court, and it raises some serious questions about how far corporate responsibility goes, especially when you're dealing with franchises.
Yeah, and this case really highlights how this seemingly ordinary act, like ordering a pizza, can bring up these really interesting questions about the law.
So, to kick things off, can you give us the rundown? What exactly happened in this case?
Sure. So we've got a teenage employee, Taylor Patterson, working at a Domino's franchise location in California. She claims she was sexually harassed by her assistant manager. But here's the twist. She didn't just sue the franchise owner, sui juris, she also sued Domino's corporate.
Now, wait a minute. Why would Domino's, the big corporate giant, be held responsible for something that happened at a franchise location? It's not like they're directly managing each individual employee at every single franchise, right?
Right, and that's the big question here. It all comes down to this legal idea of vicarious liability. Think about it like this. Imagine you have a company CEO who makes a really bad decision that ends up hurting someone. Even if the CEO didn't directly cause the harm themselves, the company as a whole could still be held responsible.
So in a way, it's like saying, hey, you're the one in charge, so you're ultimately responsible, even if you didn't do the actual deed.
Exactly. And in Patterson v. Domino's, the court had to figure out if that same logic applied here. Could Domino's be held liable for what this employee did, even if they weren't, directly involved in the day-to-day operations of that specific franchise?
I'm guessing there's a ton of legal precedent the court had to consider here.
Oh, absolutely. And in this case, they relied heavily on something called the general control test. Basically, they had to figure out if there was a real employer-employee relationship between Domino's and the workers at the franchise. Did Domino's have the power to hire and fire employees? Could they control what those employees did every day? All those factors played a big role in deciding if Domino's was liable.
So, like, if Domino's corporate was telling the franchisees exactly when their employees had to work or sending out really specific instructions on how employees had to talk to customers, that would make it seem like they had a lot more control.
Right, precisely. But on the other hand, if they're just setting like operational standards, things like recipes, uniforms, or how the store should be laid out, that's not necessarily the same as having control over employment decisions.
So it sounds like Domino's had a pretty good defense, right? Especially the franchise agreement itself said something about this whole independent contractor thing.
Well, the agreement did specifically state that the franchisee, sui juris in this case, was an independent contractor. So basically, Domino's was arguing that, look, we provide the brand, the system, all that, but it's the franchisee's responsibility to manage their own employees.
This is pretty straightforward, but I have a feeling this wouldn't have made it to the Supreme Court if it was that simple.
You're right about that. There's a bit of a wrinkle in all this. Remember how Domino's was saying they didn't have control over employment practices? Well, it turns out they actually had this no fraternization policy that applied to all franchise employees.
Wait a minute, hold on. How does a no fraternization policy fit in with their whole we don't control employees argument? It's like they're trying to have their cake and eat it too.
You got it. And that's where things get tricky. The court had to really dig into what control actually means in this context. Does just having a policy, even one about employee behavior, mean that they actually have power over those employees? That's where it gets kind of fuzzy, you know? It's not as simple as just looking at the rules on paper. You have to consider the more subtle ways that influence might be at play, like how much sway did Domino's really have over what was actually happening at the franchise level? That became the real sticking point.
So, with all that in mind, what did the California Supreme Court decide? Did they buy Domino's argument about just protecting their brand, or did they see that no fraternization policy as proof that Domino's had more control than they were letting on?
Well, in the end, the court sided with Domino's. They said that Domino's wasn't liable in this specific case. The majority opinion really emphasized the difference between setting operational standards, things like, the recipes, the uniforms, the overall Domino's look and feel, and actually controlling the day-to-day employment decisions.
I'm trying to understand here. They had this policy that clearly affected how employees could behave, but the court didn't see that as control. How does that work?
It all boiled down to the details of what Domino's actually did or didn't do in practice. The court really zeroed in on whether Domino's was actively getting involved in things like hiring, firing, or other core employment practices at the franchise. Just having a policy, in their view, didn't automatically mean that they were calling the shots on those decisions.
Okay, so let's say, just for argument's sake, that Domino's had sent out a memo saying, hey, all franchise employees have to wear these exact socks and they have to work these specific shifts.
Mm-hmm.
Would that have changed things?
You're getting the idea. That kind of specific directive would have given them a much stronger case for having direct control over the franchise's employees. But in this particular instance, the court didn't find enough evidence to say that Domino's was meddling to that extent. They saw it as more about keeping the brand consistent, not dictating how the franchise owner should handle their employees.
So Domino's got off the hook. End the story.
Not quite. It actually gets even more interesting. There was this really compelling dissenting opinion in this case, written by Justice Weregar, that raised some major concerns. The dissent argued that Domino's had a lot more real-world power over its franchises than the majority opinion wanted to acknowledge. And they worried that this power imbalance could easily spill over into employment matters, even if it wasn't always out in the open.
I can see why that would be a worry. I mean, Domino's is a huge name, right? So even if they aren't explicitly telling franchise owners exactly what to do, those owners might still feel pressured to keep Domino's happy, even if it means making decisions about their employees that maybe they shouldn't.
Exactly. And the dissenting opinion pointed to a really important detail from the case. Domino's had actually pressured this very same franchisee to fire a different employee in an earlier incident. So it's not just a theoretical power imbalance. It's a real example of Domino's getting involved in personnel decisions.
Wow, that definitely puts things in a different light. It's not just about the no fraternization policy anymore. It's like there's this pattern of behind-the-scenes influence going on that goes way beyond just protecting the Domino's brand.
Absolutely. The dissent's point was that the majority opinion was basically creating a loophole where franchisers could exert all kinds of pressure on franchisees without having to face legal consequences, and they were concerned that this loophole could leave workers in a really vulnerable position.
It's incredible how this case that started with a pizza delivery has opened up all these questions about corporate power, worker rights, and how the whole franchise model works. It's like we stumbled onto a legal thriller with a side of social commentary.
That's a great way to put it. We've got this ruling that seems to be a win for franchises, but then we've also got this dissenting opinion that really shines a light on some serious concerns about how workers are protected. And that tension between those two viewpoints is really what makes this case so important and impactful.
So where do we go from here? What does this mean for other franchises and all the people who work in them? Are they less protected now because of this ruling?
Yeah, it's a real balancing act, isn't it? We want businesses to be able to thrive, but not at the expense of workers' basic rights and protections.
That's the crux of it. And the decision in Patterson v. Domino's, well, it sets a precedent that other courts are definitely going to consider when they're looking at similar cases. So for franchisers, this is a big wake-up call. They got to be really, really careful about how they set up their agreements with franchisees and even how they interact with them on a day-to-day basis. If they even give the impression that they're micromanaging employment stuff, they could be opening themselves up to a lot of legal trouble. So to be clear, they can set those brand standards, but they can't step over the line and start telling franchise owners who to hire, who to fire, what shifts to assign, how to deal with problems with their employees. A pretty tricky line to walk, that's for sure.
Oh, absolutely. And for employees who work in these franchise settings, this case really underscores how important it is to document everything. If they think the franchisor is pulling strings in the background, you know, interfering with employment decisions, they need to have proof. Being able to demonstrate that level of control is going to be key if they want to hold the franchisor accountable.
It makes you think about who really holds the power in these situations, right? It's easy to think of Domino's or any huge company as just this big impersonal machine. But at the end of the day, there are real people making these decisions that affect other people's lives in really profound ways.
So true. And that leads to a bigger, more philosophical question, you know, about the ethics of all of this. Franchising has been incredibly successful as a business model, but cases like this make us step back and ask some tough questions. Does the way we do franchising now actually protect workers? Or do we need to rethink how power is distributed in these relationships to make sure everyone's treated fairly?
It's almost like there's a dark side to efficiency, right? The whole point of franchising is to streamline things, make everything consistent. But if that streamlining ends up putting workers in a bad spot, making it harder for them to stand up for themselves or get justice, then there's something wrong with the system itself.
And that's what makes looking at cases like this so valuable. They make us question what we think we know, and they force us to look critically at the systems that shape our lives. Patterson v. Domino's might be about pizza on the surface, but it's really a story about the push and pull between big corporations, workers trying to make a living, and our desire for a society that's fair and just.
Well said. So next time you're tempted by that late night pizza craving, take a second to think about the people who made that pizza possible. The drivers, the cashiers, the folks working in the kitchen, they're all caught up in this complex web of relationships that we've been trying to untangle today.
And remember, even though Domino's won this particular case, the dissenting opinion is a powerful reminder that we're still figuring this out. The legal and ethical questions about how much responsibility franchisors have, those questions are far from settled. There's still so much to unpack and discuss, and a lot to fight for when it comes to protecting workers' rights in this whole franchise world.
That wraps up our deep dive into Patterson v. Domino's Pizza. Hopefully this case gave you something to chew on. We encourage you to keep digging into these issues and share what you learn. Until next time, keep those legal minds sharp and stay curious.